During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the Internet.
Welcome to show. And
Zach.
This is all right. We're trying a new format.
Put the robot
on this
voice
show.
Over it.
Yeah, Zach. We're trying a new format on this show, so we're gonna see how it works. So, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, although it's burning up in my house.
Maybe you need to go turn the act down. And I have co-host number two, Willie Hayes from Columbia, Missouri. How are you?
Hello. What's up? I am excellent.
Okay.
And it is nice. Cool.
We all have video streaming of each other's faces, so it's almost like we're in the same room. At least better than before. We need to do this at a certain time every week so somebody can actually come listen and watch our streaming faces as we talk and have a good time. It's been a little bit since we've recorded a Random Inspirations. We all have been busy. I know I've been busy with two different bands and life and work and all that. Chris,
what is your second band?
Well, I guess the first band would be the church band, and the second band would be Hollow.
Okay. Just checking.
I spend more time with the church band than I do Hollow sometimes, because you got to practice a lot with the church. So, anyway, Chris, what have you been up to since we've been together last?
I have been knee-deep in copier toner. Guts.
All right. So your fingers are black.
They were for like a week straight. But that's done now. And hopefully it won't happen again for another nine days or so.
Is that stuff toxic?
I don't know. I hope not, because I know I've breathed enough of it. I like blow my nose and just be black come out.
You could be a coal miner.
I hope not. Yeah, I could get the black lung or something.
That's the toner lung. Cannon's disease.
It washes
you should
off
sue yourself.
Yeah, you're the company owner. You could sue yourself.
I might sue the Japanese because they're the ones that make it.
All right. The Japanese, in general, have a lot of money. Willie, what have you been up to since the last time?
I just bought a house, my wife and I, and so we have been focusing pretty much everything on that lately, painting and cleaning and moving all of our garbage over to the house and cleaning the yard up because it hasn't been raked in like 3 years, so it's been kind of stressful, but it's been a relief to get out of an apartment and stop throwing our money away, so...
Yeah, for sure.
And at the same time, it's a little scary because you hear all of this mortgage crisis garbage, and you're like, well, am I going to be next? Did I just make a mistake? But then again, you know, it's, I don't know.
Well,
hopefully not.
I think you're okay as long as you're not trying to sell or buy. You know, if you're just owning, I don't think your house value is going to go down. If it did go down, I mean, I don't think it'd go down much. And you'd still be getting some of your investment back. So, you know, if you're renting, you're throwing all of your money away. But if you're buying, you're at least investing in something you can get your money back. It may not as be a...
What kind of interest rate you get?
5.99.
Nice.
Yep.
That's better than what I got when I bought my house 2 years ago. I think it was like 6.2.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Mine was like 6.75, but it just got adjusted back down to 6.
Really? So do you have a variable interest rate?
I do. I have one of those ARMs or whatever they're called.
Okay.
And it adjusted after 3 years, and we were going to refinance if we were going to stay here.
Yeah.
But then they sent us letters saying, well, since the economy's in the crapper, then, you know, your interest rate actually goes down. So
wow. Normally that would make it go up, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It should have shot through the roof, but because of what's going on with the economy, it actually went down.
They knew if they screwed you, they'd be foreclosing on a mortgage or something to that effect in general.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'll be moving in about less than a month. I'll be moving. This won't affect the podcast any because you guys don't know where the crap we are. But it will affect me greatly. So, what's been interesting? What has interested your minds lately, guys?
What is up with Twitter?
Twitter. That's a great topic. Actually, that's been on my mind a lot lately.
Do we really want to talk about it?
That's pretty funny. We could devote a whole show to it. We know that.
Yes, we could.
What are you doing? That's the question.
The backstory to that is that EJ has been listening to Twit, This Week in Tech, a lot lately, and he got me into it. And they talk about that on every show. So I just thought it'd be funny to bring it up.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So
Willie is not a twit, although he is
just got into
home improvement stuff.
I think we have like 2 followers each, but you know.
Yeah, did you see my followers? Chris, did you
have a really random one?
Yeah, I do. I think I know one of them. I guarantee I do not know the other one. Which is, you know, when I just started, that's kind of weird, don't you think? I mean, I didn't announce that I was Twittering to anybody yet. You know, if it was on Facebook, you can connect Twitter to Facebook. You can actually connect Twitter to Ustream, can't you? I saw a tab or something down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So,
maybe we should do that. So who do you know?
That Twitters?
You have me, Glenno, and Lindsay Allen.
Yeah, I don't know Lindsay Allen. I know Glenno.
Lindsay just one of those spammers?
No, I think she's from Oklahoma City. She's on some sort of worship band or something. I looked at her profile and what she was doing, and she was doing some worship practice or something. I was wondering what was going on with that.
Says she's in LA.
Oh, really? Yep. What the heck? What? Maybe I'm smoking.
I'm a loser. I don't Twitter. Yet.
Yeah.
But you're piquing my interest.
You're a pre-Twitter. You're what we call...
You're an exclusive club already.
Yes.
Just because you don't.
Yeah, in this group you are.
Yeah.
Who do I have following me?
Yeah, those guys on Twit have like 10,000 and 20,000 apiece.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the big Twitter guy is Obama. He's the crazy. He Twitters all the time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of followers. So I mean, he's doing the twit, Chris.
We should
Barack Obama.
Speaking of Obama,
yes.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
What?
What about Obama?
What about
looking
him?
Up? He yeah. has
well
29,453 followers.
Wow. Well, that shouldn't be too surprising since he's got like millions of voters, so.
Yeah. But that's pretty nice that 29,000 people are pretty much directly connected to his keyboard at all times.
True.
You know, some people have to, you know, turn on the television or turn on some sort of medium, but that sucker goes straight to their cell phones. You know, that is an option to turn it off, but most of the people have it on there. Especially on the people that care about what they're saying.
Barack Obama is now eating food.
Is that what it says?
I don't know. That's just what I imagine it would say, I guess.
Let's go see what Barack Obama's doing. Anyway, so, Chris, what in your eyes, what's the point of Twitter? Or what's the deal? Or what's benefiting us? Or is it just like a weird way of telling everybody what we're doing?
I can see how it'd be useful to really famous people.
Okay.
But for me, and, you know, I don't know anybody in my area that has it except you, and you're like an hour away. So even if you said, hey, I'm going to this bar or I'm going to eat here, then, you know, I probably still wouldn't show up because it's still an hour away.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
So
I have no idea.
You're saying it'd be good.
I'm not real big.
It'd be good for people who are kind of in the same area if they were all connected and you could get on your phone and Twitter what you're doing, and if those who cared what you were doing at that moment, like going to some place to eat or going to some club or whatever, could read it immediately on their phones or computers or wherever they're at and decide if they wanted to get a hold of you and do what you're doing. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yep. Well, that would be my initial view of it. Now, you know, we've talked about it, and, you know, like you said, if you follow the right people, then you can get news early, but I don't know who those right people are.
Well, I'd say people like Barack Obama. I would say if, you know, if he's going to be doing whatever, he's going to, I mean, I would have to, see, I don't know, like, the guys on the This Week in Tech, they, I guess they're connected to people who, you know, I don't know, lots more stuff going on that you know, I think a lot of those guys are actually writers though. So, I mean, they're writing for different periodicals. So I think that's probably what that community is doing. So they're all connected to each other. They're all writing the actual articles that news is happening. So they Twitter it, say, hey man, this big thing blew up and blah, blah, blah. Or, hey, the Yahoo just got sold to Microsoft. You know, and it's Twitter, and you're like, whoa. And then so you go look at somewhere else and look that up, and sure enough, you know, something happens a few hours later. So, I mean, I think Twitter, I mean, what's interesting about Twitter is it's almost like a text message. You can only put 140 characters. It's not like a blog where you can just write paragraph after paragraph. You can, you know, Twitter is a short thing that can show up on a text message, you know. But you can never go over 140 per post, 140 characters per post.
I don't know. I'm still in the what's the big deal about.
Yeah. I think that's the question everybody says at first. What's the big deal? So.
I don't know if I want everybody to know my business anyway.
Well, that's the point. If you don't want anybody to know it, then don't type it. So you only type what you want people to actually know. So you only type what you think will benefit others. It's not like it's dictating your life. Chris took a step. Chris farted. You know, whatever. Now, I'm sure there are people that go through mundane life and say, I'm eating a brown M&M, I'm eating a green M&M, I'm eating a, you know, whatever. But there are others that, I mean, the other thing that, one of the guys says on there is, a good example for him is he does several different TV shows and he does several different articles and stuff like that. Well, he announces stuff on Twitter. So he has all these followers, right? All these people that care what he's doing and talking about. But anyway, he more or less announces what he's doing. So, hey, I just wrote an article for PC Magazine. he writes it there. So if people care about it, they'll go buy PC Magazine, or, you know, my new blog post is up or whatever. It's like an immediate stream to you. For those people who Twitter, they're always looking at their Twitter feed. So if they happen to see that flashing across the deal, that's like a way for you to almost text message the people you follow. So, I mean, like a lot of people around here.
Thousands of different people.
Yeah, or whoever's following you. You know, that's what's cool about it, is it's up to you what you say, and it's up to them who they follow. So as long as both of you are interested in that, then it works out. So
can you can you adjust the settings so that let's say you only wanted the people that you allowed to see the Twitter, or can just random folks come and see what you're doing, keeping tabs on you?
I think you can block people. Is that correct, Chris? Or do you have to approve everybody?
I don't think I had to approve you. Or did you have to approve me?
I don't remember. I think it said something to the effect of Chris is now following you. Do you remember?
So it's more like block
individual.
Yeah, I think you can block somebody if they're freaking you out or something. You can block them.
Do you remember the ICQ messenger thing?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that then, isn't it?
Well, no, that's a chat room.
Well, kind of. It's more like an instant messenger, but it's like open to the world.
Yeah.
And then,
but
then like MSN Messenger or something like that, you have to actually know the person and add them.
Yeah.
Random people can't see you.
Yeah, you can like search for people, and it'll search through every single thing. It is sort of like ICQ, and it's more global, or you don't have to have a... You just have to be on a Twitter website, basically, and sign in.
The ICQ is still one-on-one, whereas Twitter is like one to, you know, however many followers you have.
I would say it's something to the effect of a big, fat text message.
Yeah.
Hey, conference text message. I think even that, like, lends itself to, like, being kind of cliquish in that, you know, I'm doing all this cool stuff over here, and you're doing all this cool stuff over here, so let's follow each other, and then we can do our cool stuff together.
Yeah.
But, like, if you, like me, I have a full-time job that I can't go do cool stuff all the time. You know, and I don't do cool stuff, then I really have no point for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, like, my life is pretty mundane, so, like, I think I would bored everyone to death with my Twitters. Oh, gee, I am changing a diaper now, and now I'm walking down to the basement and sitting on the couch and playing Call of Duty now. Oh, I just...
Well, see right there. What'd you just say? I'm playing Call of Duty. Well, hey, I might want to play Call of Duty with you. So I say I either call you or get on Call of Duty, and it shows that I'm online because we're connected. That's a good point right there. You just showed how we can connect.
Wow.
All right. But you guys kind of have to have a similar interest anyway, and then find each other on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.
Which leads you into the Call of Duty. Now, if you're in that big clan already in Call of Duty or whatever they have on Call of Duty, then you could all join up on Twitter and like have the large text message thing.
But chances are, though, if you're in a big clan, yeah, you're going to be, like, on there all the time. You're going to be, like, a nerd online. So, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. If you're more of a casual, like, you know, you get on there once in a while, then, yeah, I could see the advantage of Twitter in that aspect. But
okay, enough of Twitter.
Yeah, no kidding. That's 20 minutes of Twitter, so.
What else we got?
Well, I was going to bring up something, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so basically, I haven't really totally been following the whole Hillary Clinton versus Obama thing as tied to some, but I just read the headlines. And, you know, recently, I guess Well, Hillary's been fighting and fighting, even though she's probably going to lose. And but she's been winning a couple of key states, like I believe she won Indiana the other day, but lost North Carolina pretty badly. And, you know, okay, she's neck and neck with him, sort of. But one interesting thing that I saw the other day about it was that apparently Rush Limbaugh has started some campaign back, I don't know, several months ago with his listeners to go out and vote for Democrats to offset, to keep the chaos going, so to speak. And I'd kind of forgot about it and noticed an article today about it again that he had, you know, I guess apparently a lot of the exit polls have been showing that the a lot of the people voting Democrat are actually Republicans and are going to vote McCain anyway. So I thought it was interesting the effect that he's having on all that, you know, and that, you know, it kind of, it seems like that the average person would guess that America is going to vote Democratic in the presidential election, you know, because that's kind of what they did in the Senate and congressional elections coming up. But basically, I feel like that the silent majority, our Republicans, are going to show up and kind of sweep away all this Obama garbage. But that's just my opinion.
Huh.
But I don't know. It's just one of the interesting things I've saw. Was like he's kind of rigging or kind of skewing a whole Democratic primary thing, and I don't know.
So I thought only Republicans could vote Republicans and only Democrats could vote Democrats until it came to the actual president election.
That's only in certain states. And I know here in Missouri you can actually vote any way you want to. You don't have to be registered anything. So okay. I know in Oklahoma I think it's that way. You have to register as a Republican or Democrat and you vote that way, but in some states it doesn't matter, which is weird, but anyway.
That'd be one heck of a tactic.
Well, yeah, I didn't read the article, but I saw them talking about Rush Limbaugh screwing with the Democrats somehow, which, I mean, I don't know. The only thing I see benefiting from that is they continue to be equalized. Say Rush kept up on the polls and he said, okay, now you guys need to vote for Hillary. So Hillary needs to win this one. Now he needs to win one, and then she needs to win one. So all this does is make them spend more money and make them more tired of the bullcrap and make them fight and say more stupid things. So the longer they go, the more stupid things they'll say. And McCain hasn't said one stupid thing because he's been chilling.
Yeah.
So once they all get done, they're going, I am so freaking tired of seeing Obama or Hillary or whoever. Please, McCain, win. You know what I'm saying? That's what I guess they think their tactic is. One, do you think that'll work? And two, I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy that the Republicans just decided that McCain was it so fast. I don't know. It just seems crazy to me. I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
McCain doesn't seem like a clear-cut choice. I mean, between these three, I'm thinking these are the best three choices in America to run the country. It's kind of, that kind of scares me anyway, but anyway, that's not
sure. But one other thing I was going to say was that I guess supposedly today Rush Limbaugh has called off the dogs as far as voting for Hillary, and now that he's declared that Obama is now the weaker candidate, so everybody vote for him now.
Oh,
so
my
that
gosh.
I guess in light of the Reverend Wright business, and you know, he's kind of been unraveling here lately. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
I thought he's done a pretty good job of holding his composure despite all these things that have kind of come out, though. I mean, I don't think he's like totally gone off the deep end and just done something that's killer. Whereas Hillary just seems to be struggling. I mean, she borrowed $6 million from herself just the other day for her campaign.
Dude. Well, consider this angle, though. Mr. Obama has had literally no media bashing going on. Like, they just love him and they want him to be president. And so he's had, like, no challenge whatsoever from them. You know, of course they hate Hillary for some reason. I don't know why. I guess because they love Obama so much. But when you have no challenge from the media whatsoever, of course everything's going to be smooth sailing and you're going to get all kinds of money and it's all good, you know. So honestly, do you have any idea what he stands for? Other than the very few things that he's talked about, I mean, do you really know where he stands? I don't.
Good point.
I tried to listen to him and, you know, just to, you know, I'm not an avid, I'm not a Democrat for one, and I live in Oklahoma for two. I've tried to listen to him just because I think he's kind of slick. Everybody used to say Bill Clinton was real slick and all that. And I never got that. I was young at that time, but I never got, I couldn't get past him just sleazeball and looking weird with the gray hair. And I never was a true Clinton believer, but like I'm looking at Obama and I'm watching him talk and I can see how I can see that slickness in him. Now, what's funny is he starts being slick, and he's slick, you know, Rick or whatever, and then somebody, you know, this reverend thing happens or whatever happens, or when he was speaking to a bunch of, you know, higher-ups about a bunch of working-class people, and he referred to them in a derogatory term, it's like, you know, they're going to base their whole election on that right there, on, oh, Hillary got him then, so let's not, he shouldn't be president. Nobody's even listening to what he's saying. It's just how he's saying it. So if he happens to slip up while he's doing his smooth talk, that's a killer. It's not what he's going to do while he's in office. It's just how he talks, which, you know, I know you have to judge someone or what they're going to do, how they talk. But I'm just wondering, you know, what is this about? Is it about who we like the best, who we think is the smoothest and the slickest, or who's going to actually do the right things when it comes to making decisions? So what do you guys think on that?
I think it's kind of scary that nobody's listening to him. You know, just like you said, nobody really knows what he stands for. From what I understand, both Democrats have kind of a weak foreign policy, agenda.
Yeah.
What's scary is that, nobody really knows what his plan, but it doesn't matter. Like, once you're in office, it only matters what you do. I mean, that's because that's what's going to happen. What's going to control the country. What you do is going to affect the country. And so we don't know what he's going to do. We just know how he says what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So I think that part's scary.
Yeah, I think once the man gets in there, if he's elected as president, and he actually sees, because he's going to have access to things that he didn't have access when he was a senator. And he's going to look at this and he's going to say, "Woo boy, I can't just go over here and talk to this guy, you know, because it's going to screw everything up. And it's not what I thought it was." And he's going to piss off his base and he's going to have to do things that he didn't want to do. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, you never do stuff that you want to do because of the other party. So, I mean, you know, that's the whole point of checks and balances. So once he gets in there, he's not going to just do everything he said he's going to do, because the Republicans in the House and Senate aren't going to let him. You know what I mean? So that's where it's all funny. Yeah, he's a president and he has a lot of power, but technically, I mean, he's not going to just do whatever he wants or do whatever he says he's going to do or promise or whatever. He may try to do that. But
the Democrats have the House, don't they?
With and Senate.
What's her name?
But that will change.
You think?
Well, if a Democrat gets elected, I guarantee it'll change.
Oh, you mean the next 2 years or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
So he'll have 2 years of kind of free will?
Pretty much.
Which Bush had, you know, was it 4 or 6?
Yeah. Quite a long time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's really, I agree with what you said, is that these are the three best people in America that we have to choose from.
Yeah. God helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely there's going to be some guy out there that's just like a pimp.
Probably Ralph Nader.
Probably the pimp don't want it. That's the problem. The guy who's the man who can actually do it, he's the one who doesn't want
He's smart enough to know that he doesn't want the job.
Yep.
You guys can vote for me.
Okay. CJ Armstrong for president.
That's right.
All right. So, off the politics. No sports, no nothing. There's nothing good going on right now.
God, sports is killer. Reading the sports page now, there's just nothing. I mean, high school playoffs are going on, but...
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's kind of... High school playoffs are going on.
Yeah.
Guess if you're a college baseball fan, that's some stuff going on there.
NBA action, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty
hot. Yeah, playoffs.
The Hornets. Used to be Oklahoma City Hornets. Are kicking butt.
They're tearing it up. Oh, taking on the Spurs, who blew through the round one, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty disheartening in a little bit because, you know, we pretty much revived them as a team, Oklahoma City. People around here are pretty rabid Hornets fans. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think you realize because, you know, but neither of you live here, but, man, it was nuts here. There were several people that I knew that had season tickets and they were just rabid buying all the stuff and going to every game. That was just what they did 1 to 2 nights a week is go to Hornets games, you know? So.
Well, I think if they get a team in there, you know, are they talking about the Sonics or something like that? Yeah. I think they'll pack the house, dude.
I think so too, especially with Kevin Durant.
Do you really think they will?
Oh yeah.
Because the argument I've heard with the Hornets was that because they were relocated, the Oklahoma City like discounted the ticket prices, and I mean, like the fans just got like a ton of breaks on what they have to pay. But if we move a team here full time, that won't be the case.
Well, I think it'll still be better than what the Hornets are now. They're I think they're the lowest, even though they're winning, they're still one of the lowest in the league. Just because there's nobody there, you know what I mean?
As far as prices?
No, attendance.
Or attendance.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think that it's it being the only professional game in town, that that's not going to have some sort of effect, too?
I think it has a huge effect.
Well.
I mean, everybody says OU football's the professional team. Screw that. Screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah, screw you. No,
does OU sell
out
every game?
What's that? Yeah.
did the Red Hawks sell out every game? Mm. You know, the Red Hawks are kind of a big deal in Oklahoma City.
I don't think they sell out. I think there's a pretty good following, no doubt. But I don't know.
Yeah, but they're not the top, though.
Yeah,
they're not, what, Division II?
They're AAA. They're a AAA team to the Rangers.
Okay, but... Even going back to that, people around here like college sports a whole lot better than pro sports, I think, just because it's more pure. So
I think it's because there's not a team. I guarantee people up in Wisconsin. What's crazy is when I went to Chicago, I kind of looked on the map, and I didn't realize that within, you know, a 500-mile radius, which is, you know, basically how big Oklahoma is, there's like 5 or 6 professional football teams. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's the same thing when you go over to, like, the Redskins, the Ravens, New York. All those teams are just bunched up together, and it's just that whole area is freaks about football. I mean, you got Green Bay, Chicago, you got Indianapolis, you got Cincinnati. I mean, it's, all these teams are, you know, just bunched up. And I guarantee when I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings in Chicago, there were people talking about, they were freaking out about Chicago White Sox. They were talking about Chicago Cubs. They were talking about the Bears beating the Packers. And when the Bears scored a touchdown while I was sitting in the airport, the whole place erupted. It was just crazy, you know. And it's kind of like that with football around here, but it's not. I mean, the pro thing is, I don't think something we really understand fully in Oklahoma, at least, is
here in Columbia. I've kind of got a taste of what you're talking about. You know, of course, Mizzou is important to Columbia.
Yeah.
But they're also important to the state. You know, there's your college fans. But there's one thing everyone can agree on around here is they're all St. Louis Cardinal fans.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes, sir. Everyone's wearing a cap, and it's a big, big deal.
Yeah. And I really think that the Sonics come here, they have fan support, and they start winning like they start actually doing well, not doing crap, you know. I really think it'll catch on. I really do. I think it'll be a big deal. Just as big a deal as the Hornets were.
Oh, that's a load of crap.
That's a load of crap.
And EJ won't even be around to see it.
I know.
That's right.
Here, I want Kevin Durant to play within, you know, 500 yards of where I work. Oh, wait. No, I'm going to move.
Crap.
10 hours away. Thanks.
It's all good. You can go to Bears game.
Well, I'll go to Cardinals games now. Yes. Because I'll be an hour and 40 minutes away from a Cardinals game.
See, it's people like you that would have gone to the game, and then people like me that are staying here that probably won't.
True. Yeah.
But you go to the OSU games, so it's all good.
I won't be going to the OSU games. That's the saddest part about me moving.
Basketball game. You know, it's pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
just go for the experience.
Yeah, it is an experience. Have you ever been to a pro basketball game? Did you go to a Hornets game?
I didn't, but I saw Michael Jordan play a couple times. We made a couple of road trips.
Wow.
Dude, man, it's crazy. Just the whole atmosphere is cool. I mean, like everything they do is just cool, you know. I don't know. It's a lot better than like a college game. You know, college is cool. It's not better than a college game because I'm a rabid college fan. So I can't say that. But I can say that the atmosphere and the stuff they do for the fans is cooler than a college game. Now, college, the actual sport, I care more about. But that's simply because I haven't grown up with a, you know, pro team in my town.
That's true.
So, anyway.
We all came from Podunk.
Yeah, there's not many pro teams near Podunk.
They have American Legion baseball in the summer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. AAU basketball that travels to the big city.
And they were both big deals, but nobody went and saw them.
Yeah, the players liked them and the four parents, but you never actually got people to come see.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, it was a way to get to a good school, but nobody came and watched.
Yeah. And watching's where the money's at, baby.
That's right.
Beer and hot dogs.
Okay, so I have a cool story about a Hornets cheerleader. So my friend Robbie Espinosa, can you say names on podcast? Anyway, both of you know who that is. He was at his apartment, and there was a Hornets cheerleader that lived in his apartment. And she was from New Orleans, I believe, and she had never seen snow or ice or anything like that. So in Oklahoma, and if you're listening and you don't know what kind of ice gets on an Oklahoma ice storm, it's unbelievable. Everything is covered with 1 or 2 inches of ice. And I'm talking about slush ice. I'm talking about solid, pure ice. Like stuff you have to break with a hammer almost. Anyway, so the whole car is covered with ice. She has to be at practice or whatever, and he's walking out there, and she's got a pitcher of hot water fixing to pour it onto her car.
Oh, dang.
And he like yells at her, stop, don't stop. And she's like, you know, what? You know, so he spends like 35, 40 minutes chipping this bullcrap ice off of her car after he just got through doing his car, you know, because what chivalrous men wouldn't help a cheerleader in need, right? Anyway, so, you know, can you imagine this poor girl who's moved here from New Orleans and her job is be a cheerleader and she's trying to go to cheerleader practice or whatever she does and she's going to bust out her front windshield on her car in the middle of an ice storm because she's too stupid or uneducated, I guess, about, man, that's crazy. So, I don't know. So, there you go. If you've never dealt with ice, don't pour hot water on it. Expansion and contraction is a big deal. So, there's my Hornet story.
Well, should have let her do it just to watch what happens.
No kidding.
Oh. I've never actually seen
spider, wouldn't it?
It would bust it. It would bust it crazy.
You think it'd fall out?
I don't know.
It would shatterproof.
Well, no. I just saw with my own eyes several windshields busted through with hail from about a week ago.
In Oklahoma City?
In Oklahoma City. In Moore, I believe. Or Choctaw. The ice went through the windshield like a bullet.
Wow.
So that like it looked like somebody took a sledgehammer and busted all the way through the windshield.
Yeah.
It was crazy. They showed the hail. Normally hail's like round. This was like oblong. Like missiles.
Nice.
That would kill you. An ice missile. What happened to him? There's an ice missile down his spine. Where'd it go? It melted. And then he died.
And he's got a big hole.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the it's like the little plunger thing on No Country for Old Men. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but you got to see it.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. You got to see it.
Is that the one with the guy with the funky hair?
Yeah, dude. Tell you what, that is a bad man. Chris, have you seen it?
No, I thought that was Vin Diesel at first, though.
Oh, no, it's not Vin Diesel. He's
a Mexican guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's Mexican. I can't really tell. His accent kind of goes from Mexican to, like, Irish to different, weird. I can't tell what he is. But anyway, it doesn't matter what he is because he's a bad man. Mm. He's probably one of the baddest bad dudes I've seen in probably 5 years in a movie. He is so bad.
Is he badder than Clint Eastwood?
He would probably kill Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Him and Clint Eastwood would go round and round. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Now, let me put it this way. Clint Eastwood would shoot him about 7 times, and then he would kill Clint Eastwood.
Dang.
So that's how bad this dude is. So if you haven't seen No Country for Old Men, you must see it if you're a dude. Now, my wife, she pretty much hated it. But I loved it. So,
is it gratuitous violence?
Have
gratuitous violence?
I had gratitude because it was good violence, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
No, it was crazy. It wasn't like gore. I mean, it wasn't like that. You know, it wasn't just like blood splattering everywhere. So no, it was a Coen Brothers film. So I mean, it was tasteful, but I mean, it was pretty crazy. It was a good movie. So a must see for you two and all my listeners, all 7 of you.
I think you're being gratuitous. No, I'm just kidding.
We're up to 7 now?
Wow. Well, official hot clock time is 46 minutes, 30 seconds.
Well, seeing as how we haven't really talked about anything, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Well, I'd like to thank the sponsors, for the show. One, Barack Obama. Thanks for all the Twitters. Thanks for all the slicknesses.
You know why he's winning and he's going to win?
Why?
Is because he actually follows people that follow him.
Yeah.
Whereas Hillary, she gets all these followers but doesn't follow them back.
Yeah, that's a great point. Hillary has zero followers. She's following zero people.
Yeah. And
you know, something they said the other day was interesting. Like Hillary will write, like, well, she's not writing anything. Her aides are writing, you know, whatever, I am doing this, or we are doing this, or Hillary's doing this. Obama never puts any
pronouns.
Yeah, no pronouns in anything. So it would be, you know, doing a debate, or there's no
in
I,
North
there's
Carolina.
No we, there's no me. It's almost like he's saying it, or it's just he is. You know what I'm saying? It's not like.
Do you think he really is, though?
Well, I don't think he is, but I think that they're good at making it come across that this is him. Yeah. This is him doing this. I mean, this. I don't think they're trying to say that he writes it all. I think they're just trying to, when they portray what's going on with the Twitter thing, it's almost like you are getting a direct line to that sucker. You know, where Hillary's is like, I am going to this place, and, you know, you can tell an aide is writing it, you know, because it's all flowery and it's all perfect. Where his is, you know.
Obama's people have the magic.
Yeah, they got the magic.
You know, it's like the mystery and the magic behind it. I mean, they make you feel like you're part of it.
Yep. And even Mr. Dave Bond, which I dearly miss on this show, said when we first started going, he said, now don't tell anybody this, but I went to his website, and man, that guy's good. I mean, if I didn't know what he was about, I'd really want to vote for him. So that's based on his website. So, yeah. And Dave's a, you know, big time politician, you know, but he knows, you know, Dave, of course, knows what he's all about, and Dave would never vote for Mr. Obama. So that's on record. Dave, I'm sorry. I will never speak for you ever again.
Well, thanks, Barack, for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, he's a fellow Twitterite. Ustream.tv, which is allowing us to see our happy faces about halfway through this podcast.
It just shut down, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I kept mine up for a while, and I was like,
yeah, looking at yourself.
Yeah.
Me too. I finally closed it because I figured it was taking bandwidth.
It was jacking mine up pretty bad. So I kept, you all were like, it was like blank, and then it's like, and then it's like,
holy crap. Were you the first one to, well, I guess you guys don't know, but EJ was the first one to click off.
Well, I didn't click off. Fine. It just stopped. But I was still going. Okay. It just stopped. Okay. So Ustream, wow, you're great.
I can see why Twit went with Stickam.
Yeah. And Uvu, O-O-V-O-O, didn't even make this show because it doesn't actually work.
We tried,
but it doesn't work.
In its defense, it's a pretty cool product, but it's still in beta, and I should have known better before recommending it for this.
Yeah, I had to restart it like 5 times before we could actually even get the video to work. So that's never a good sign.
Tried and true Skype.
But I tell you what, Uvu looks slick, man.
It does look slick.
The black and the nice shiny colors.
Very Mac-ish.
Very Mac-ish. That's what I was going to say.
Mac-ish.
Yes. All right. Well, this has been show 6. Again, this is EJ Hayes. Coach, I can talk, I promise. Co-host number one, Chris Armstrong. Co-host number two, Willie Ooh. Hayes.
Yo.
And this is wrapping up Random Inspiration Show 6.
We miss you, Dave.
Yeah, Dave Bond will be back with us in the near future. And thanks for listening.